Have you seen his Instagram?
They need
this Felger Ness.
They don't use crank enough.
On 98.5.
Yeah, not really.
The Sports Hub.
Welcome into the program, everybody. Felger Maserati on a Tuesday in the football season. We are usually joined by Greg Bedard from Boston Sports Journal, one of the finest Patriots analysts here in Boston. We say usually because the big fella's not here yet. How do you like this guy, Maz? Every Tuesday that we had to skip him over the last 3-4 weeks with all the Red Sox and World Series stuff.
Yeah, he and his followers.
He complains about not getting on. He has his readers and his followers complain that he's not on. So we get inundated with all this crap. Where's Bedard? Where's Bedard? Where's Bedard?
Yeah, they bitch the whole time.
So now we finally have a free Tuesday where it's all 2 full hours of Bedard right in your face. And he's late.
No, he is. He's late. I'm wondering, Murray, you didn't happen to see if he was stuck in the doorway when you came in, did you? Like, I thought that maybe there's a chance that he could, you have to butter him.
That's particularly
harsh. Traffic was terrible and the weather's bad, so I give him an excuse. I'm just getting here myself.
There's no excuse. Figure it out. Keep driving. It's only rain.
You think Bill Belichick would go for that? Next time Josh Gordon says that's raining out, it was traffic.
So in lieu of that, Patriots fans, and on NBC Sports Boston, the simulcast are throwing up a picture of Bob's Big Boy. Maybe he's stuck at the Big Boy. Maybe they're late with his shake.
He should have used the app at Dunkin'. That's what he should have done.
In lieu of Bedard, I'll ask you, Maz, and then I'll read Bedard's email.
Okay.
The more you think about that Patriots win on Sunday night, how do you feel about it?
I'm digging my heels in on it. It was a good win. It wasn't a great win. I don't think Green Bay's particularly good. And so that's a part of it. As I was in a half of a stupor yesterday. And so the more I look at it and I say, it was a good win. It wasn't a great win. I think people are overrating it a little bit. Now, defensively, the coverage I was impressed by. But the other part of it is offensively, they had 17 points at the beginning of the fourth quarter, and they needed to run a trick play to score. Like, to me, that's not typically what the Patriots do. So I think it's a reflection that they were having difficulty.
Okay, as Big Boy here sets up his situation, I'm just going to read his email because I feel my delivery is going to be better anyway. So here's what Bedard said in our show chain. He said on the Patriots, ... Still watching film, but can someone answer me this? Why did the Patriots feel the need, or why are they being celebrated for using deception to score all of their points the other night? Since when are they Hickory versus South Bend Central? They had available to them Tom Brady, Julian Edelman, James White, Josh Gordon, former first-round pick, Chris Hogan, signed away from the Bills on a RFA tender, has been here 3 years. They had Philip Dorsett, former first-round pick, Dwayne Allen, traded for him, have paid him $9 million, and Kenyon Barner, the player they chose to sign over anyone else, and an offensive line that's largely been together for 3 years. Since when are they the sisters of the poor? Why can't that group move the ball consistently against a defense that was ranked 20th by footballoutsiders.com? He's talking about the Packers.
Attaboy, Greg.
Okay, Bedard, you wrote that at 9 this morning. Do you still stand by those words?
I do. Yeah. I mean, I just don't understand. And I think there are a couple things at play. I mean, there could be a couple different possibilities. Number one is they could have wanted to throw a curveball at Mike Pettine, because they know Pettine knows them. The Packers defense coordinator used to be with the Jets. He's done a good job against them over the years. You know, maybe they wanted to throw some curveballs at him. But I think largely, I think they're just trying to help along the offense. That right now, they're just not confident that they can go 80 yards in 12 plays on a consistent basis to, like, say, keep up with an Aaron Rodgers.
Why? Why can't they?
I don't know. It's just, and we've been talking about it for, a few weeks. And I wrote coming out of the last game, the Bills game, about how, it's not on Brady that, whether it's Gordon or Patterson or whoever, that it's just the precise offense just is not happening right now. And I am as shocked as anybody that it's taking this long. I think they look at it right now as they just can't get consistent enough play to be able to move the ball like they want to. So they have to go to these deceptive plays no huddle, things like that, to make it work. But I don't understand why they're here. They shouldn't be.
I mean, that's how I look at it. Like, you know, again, I think they have enough weapons to be able to go down the field. And I know they don't want to throw to James White on every play. And the synergy, if you want to call it that, or the timing between Brady and Edelman has gotten better and better, I think, as they've gone on. It was last week, right, that he had 10 catches or 10 targets, 9 catches for 100-plus yards. So I feel like that's getting better. But it's still not right. I mean, you know, again, he threw behind Edelman on one play there. It's clearly not right with Gordon, as much as people are celebrating him. It's a 50-50 proposition when they throw Josh Gordon the football. They target him 10 times in this game. There were as many incompletions as there were completions. And, you know, the Gronk factor's real. But they have enough where they should be able to shred Green Bay without trickery.
I mean, don't they have enough?
You tell me.
Well, I mean, I know what I think. I think they do. I mean, what, you can't line up with, you know, Josh... I mean, even take Gordon out of it. Say he was just a, you know, half a dozen a game guy type of guy. Like, you could line up with Dorsett, Edelman, Hogan, and James White. And why can't they beat any defense going up? Didn't we hear that?
Yeah.
From a lot of people? You know, even without Gronk, they've won a Super Bowl without Gronk. They've been through this before. You know, so I just don't understand it. From watching this game, I'm also starting to believe that perhaps the Patriots are critical of Brady, that Brady's not where they need him to be yet. I think, I don't know how much of that is the offense and what's around him or how much that is him, but I do think he is part of the equation.
Why do you get that sense?
I don't know. It's just gone on for so long that normally in past years, they've had injuries. They've had guys come and that. And it's just, all right, we'll just drop Brady back 45 times a game. And he'll get it done. He'll figure it out. But I think it's equal parts, a little bit of everything
so you're
on why
saying
they had to do it.
They're calling the trick plays and this stuff because they don't think Brady can do it straight up.
No, not. I would say that's
That's the Felgerman's
yes.
translator for
I would say there, maybe that's like 25% of it. I would say 50 or more percent of it is they don't feel like they can count on the guys that they need, whether it's Gordon or Patterson yet, that they're not ingrained in the offense enough yet.
Okay, so talk about those guys. Josh Gordon, give me your assessment of him right now.
I think he's doing fine. I mean, he makes progress every week. He does a little bit more. He's more consistent. By the way, Patterson, there was a play where he actually caught a ball, and you got to give Brady a lot of credit, where Patterson wasn't even running the right play. Like he was in a wing position, and then at the snap he started running like it was a reverse. Then he's like, "Wait a minute, I'm running the wrong play." And then he just ran into the flat, and Brady hit him, and it went for like 10 yards. I mean, that kind of stuff is going on. Gordon's doing fine.
Gordon's
doing fine. I mean, he every week,
but not reliable. Not to the point where you think he's reliable.
Evidently not. I mean, you know, would they be running some of this stuff if they could just say, okay, well, he's Randy Moss out there. We're just going to throw deep
right,
down the
so,
field.
I mean,
we're
I,
gonna
I
do
feel
that.
Like, I feel like you're contradicting yourself. You're saying that they don't have enough here to move the ball just straight up, so they have to go to all this trickery. Then I ask you about Gordon. You say he's fine. Well, they can't.
No, I said he's doing fine. It doesn't mean that he's Randy Moss level in this offense yet or anything. I mean, he's doing fine for being signed in the middle of the season, and he's making progress each week. He's doing fine as far as that goes.
How about
see, so I was going to say, I don't think it is reliable. I think the incompletions tell you that. They threw it to him 10 times. They completed 5. Is that what they're looking for?
I can't imagine that.
No way. And even the Edelman numbers, I don't have them in front of me. The Edelman numbers in this game weren't good. And typically when Brady's right, that slot guy, he's hitting that guy about 80% of the time, for crying out loud. Especially in this league where you can't play defense. So, like, it's now when the part I'm intrigued by that you said, Greg, is that some of it's on Brady. Like, is Brady not seeing the field as well as he has in the
not. He has not seen the field to this point this year like he has in past years. To me, there's no question about that. Now, what part of that is on Brady? What part of that is on what he's working with? You know, he's feeling pressure more than I would say he did last year. I mean, he had an MVP season last year. You know, is it all that different, the situation? I don't know. I would have to go back and compare notes. But there's no question that he's having issues. I just don't know where the blame lies on that.
Okay. Are you buying on the defense?
Yes.
No, that's a no.
No, I mean, they were certainly better. The Bills game, you kind of throw out because you couldn't judge because the Bills are terrible.
I'm talking purely about Monday night.
They executed well. You know, I don't think it was, you know, I praised Brian Flores, you know, in my column after the game. You know, watching it back, I wouldn't say it wasn't overly complicated. They did do some stuff that they haven't done before, like move the safeties up. So that was good. You saw some zero blitz where they sent everybody. That's when McCourty got a pressure. He came free and Rodgers had to let go of it. I do think, though, man, watching that Packers offense, boy, they are tough to watch. And it just looks like Aaron is just disinterested. Like, he is just like, he's not stimulated. He's like, I'm over this offense. And it just looks like he's resigned to his fate. And I think that was part of what happened in that game. Aaron was also, he missed some plays. There were plays to be made. He was late. He does that. He hangs on to the ball. He does not throw in rhythm in the offense. It's always been a problem for him. So, you know, it was equal part. But you look, there's no question that the defense executed better. And that's great. I mean, I don't care what kind of talent they have. If they execute, like Miami, they were awesome. The Bills, they executed. This game, they executed. They play good defense. That's the bottom line.
Okay, one more. Then we'll go to break and take your phones. 617-779-0985. Cordell Patterson at running back. Your thoughts?
He's running the Sony Michel place. I mean, basically, you know, they basically like toss it to him or hand it off to him, and it's basically like a kickoff return. They put blockers in front of him. He's always got the fullback. When he didn't have the fullback in this game, went for no gain and 1 yard. They give him the helper, the fullback, which also does a bunch of things in terms of
gaps,
the defense. Yes, the fullback puts in another gap. You have a tight end over there. It's even more gaps. It spreads the defense out. It makes it easier for the running back to see the play. So they're giving him the helper Sony Michel plays. And he's doing fine. It's basically like a kickoff return. But you take away, you make him play running back without a fullback, it's a little bit different.
No, I want you to repeat that part again. The part about it's like a kickoff return, except they get it at running back. Basically, they give him the ball and tell him to run straight ahead.
Basically.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
I just want to, and I also want to make, how long have you covered football, Greg?
Long time. 17, 18 years.
So that's coming from a football guy that he looks like a kickoff returner in the backfield. That's what they're doing, right? Just hand it off, run straight ahead. Right?
Well, I like that he calls it the Sony Michel place.
So yeah, even better.
He's really taking on two guys with one take.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Good value with that take.
Absolutely.
I couldn't tell from this game. So Patterson getting 51 yards in one half, does that help or hurt the Michel guys?
Ah,
hurts.
Exactly.
I think it hurts.
There's a lot of pretzel twisting going on out there.
Uh-huh.
Let's talk some football, folks. 617-779-0985. The big boys in the house. We'll talk to Bedard next.
B.O.B. Boob.
Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob?
It's Felger and Mass. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Three wides to the right for the Pats. Stacked are Gordon and Hogan. Now Edelman in short motion. Brady screens.
Lateral.
It's a lateral to Edelman. He's looking to throw. He throws it back to James White, left side of the field. He runs to the 35,
go,
30,
baby.
25, 20, 15, 10. And he's tripped up, diving inside the 5.
Woo. Now what a play call that was. You can see from up here, it's a lateral to Edelman. Trip stack to the right.
Morrison made the tackle, saving play for Green Bay.
He wanted Gordon on a deep one, and he checked it down to White. It's a screen to the backside.
Josh McDaniels, as usual, called a great game, and that was a great call. It was, you know, the timing was perfect, and it, most importantly, it was well executed. So no play is a good play if it's not executed well, and that was executed very well by the by Tom, by James, by Julian, by the offensive line. We got a good movement downfield, had a couple of nice blocks that sprung him, I don't know what, a gain, 35, 40 yards, something like that, down to the 2-3 yard line. So it was well executed, and it was a great play call by Josh, too.
All right, so the point here today from Bedard and Maz, but Bedard primarily is...
Oh God, I'm grouped in with Maz.
Well, again, this is through the Felger and Maz translator, but I'm going to be fair.
Oh, okay.
Listen,
I can't
me.
Wait for this.
Listen! Well-designed play, obviously.
Yes.
Well-executed play. We're not ragging on that play or any of the trick plays that they ran. The flea flicker, the pump fake on the screen, any of those. They're all brilliantly designed, got the guys wide open, went for big plays, big part of the game. Greg's point is, why do they have to resort to that? Why can't they just move the ball straight up on what is a very poor defense in Green Bay? Fair?
I would say yes, that's
Thank
fair.
You. There you go.
Wow, good job.
I mean, remember, like, you know, when they did the double pass to Edelman to Amendola? That was against the Ravens in a playoff game. The Ravens.
Down two scores in the second half.
Right. And you know, and then they started some of that stuff in the Atlanta Super Bowl. Remember that?
Of course.
Like, they were behind big. In this game, they're tied, and it's the Packers? That crap-ass defense?
617-779-0985. Football with Bedard. Michael in Dartmouth, lead us off. Go ahead.
Yeah, hey, what's up, fellas? Mr. Bedard, I wanted to hear your opinion on Josh Gordon had. Murray brought it up yesterday. After that first long incomplete pass where he came off the field and he didn't return for a few plays, seemed like he hurt his hamstring again maybe, but how much longer do you think the injuries are going to hold Gordon back from being that explosive wideout that he was in Cleveland?
Let me stop you there. I don't feel like he's explosive. I feel like he's going up and getting the ball. He's catching balls in traffic. But I don't see that shot out of the cannon Josh Gordon player that we saw in Cleveland.
He's not there yet. I did think, and I think I tweeted this out during the game, that I thought, for some reason, early in the game, I thought that his legs looked more lively. And I thought they were better in this game. I don't think he was actually injured on that play because...
He got a cleat changed. I had a bunch of people correct me.
Yeah, I thought he either got stepped on or something like that because I watched him through my binoculars going to the sideline, and they were doing something with his cleat. So I don't think that was an injury. I mean, obviously he had the finger thing. By the way, on the injury front, there was a play. I have the video. I forget when it was. But there was a play in the end zone, and all of a sudden at the end of the play, Edelman is grabbing his left foot again. This is now like 3 weeks in a row where it looks like he has some sort of sharp pain in his left foot, and then he like limps off. I'm just worried about that. And related to this, I think it's, you know, James White, the previous two seasons.
He definitely got hurt in this last game.
Yes. But the previous two seasons, the Patriots limited him, because he's damn good, to 99 touches. I think he's at like 112 right now through nine games.
So
I mean,
he already has more touches this year than he had all of last
correct.
Year.
Correct. And so that's a concern, I would think.
Okay. That's a good one, Greg. I like that one too. Ernie in Revere. Hi, Ernie.
How you doing? Greg, let me ask you a question. Why won't they give that kid Webb a chance? They need a running back. Is he not doing well in the practice squad?
Okay, who's he talking about?
I think he's
Ralph
gone.
Webb, but I don't think he's here
gone.
Anymore.
Yeah, I think he's gone. Yeah, I think he's gone. They picked up some other guy and got rid of him early in the year.
Frank Webb, George Webb and his free hamburgers. George Went from Cheers. I don't care. Why can't they give a running back that job versus a receiver?
F.W. Webb.
You know what I mean?
Kenneth Farrow.
Spider Webb.
B.F.D. F.D. Like, it doesn't matter. Like... They've proven my point enough now, just giving it to a wide receiver at running back, and he's getting the yards. You can really put anyone back there. But why don't they just go with another running back versus this fococta receiver they keep throwing back there?
I only have two explanations for this. Okay, the first thing is obviously the Sony Michel thing was they really liked what they had with Deion Lewis, and they wanted to keep that going, and Michel was the closest guy, so they grabbed him in the first round because he was the closest comparable.
Meaning... make people miss in space, catch
correct.
The ball, that sort of stuff?
You know, dual threat,
okay, I've
run
seen
the ball.
Squat from him in the passing game.
I know. But the thing about Patterson, to me...
I know, Felger, you just settled up.
Yeah, settled up. to me, it's... they're looking for a certain timing, quickness to the hole, and they don't think that Kenyon Barner can do it. So, you know, they want Michelle, or they want Patterson, or they want somebody else who's quick. And, you know, that's why... that's the only explanation I had, that they haven't signed like an Orleans Darkwa or somebody like that who's been around, who's been productive in the league, and they're not using them. They don't want a big back. They want quick to the hole, get down the field, get in the hole, that sort of thing.
I mean, they should sign a guy like Darkwa just for the goal line.
I figured they would by now, but I don't know.
We've got Alex in the truck. Yes, Alex.
What's going on, guys? The formula for the offense that you saw is pretty simple. I mean, Gronkowski is severely injured, and he didn't even play. But the biggest value that he has is he draws double teams every time that he's out there. Edelman hasn't seen the field in over a year with the suspension, and Josh Gordon's pretty new to the team. So all your big talent guys basically have a preseason level of reps, and all the guys that have been there since the beginning of the season those guys, they're the ones that Brady wasn't throwing to in OTAs because he wasn't there. And so there's no way that that doesn't get better. It gets better every single year. What was far more concerning to me were the penalties. They were crappy penalties. Neutral zone infraction, too many men on the field. Crap that the other team always does. So that's the one thing that they need to cut out for the postseason. That's all I got.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, it is predictable they got off to a slow start. I mean, Brady skips the whole offseason. Gronk skips the whole offseason. Edelman gets suspended the first month. Gronk's hurt again. Training camp was freaking like a, you know, a spa treatment, you know? So, of course, yes, they've gotten off to a slow start, and it all mattered. It all mattered starting with Brady in the spring. It all matters.
This was Edelman's fifth game. How many games does Julian Edelman need to get into whatever?
So you're saying that's no longer an excuse for him?
I don't know. Not after five games. I mean, that's after the normal window when we expect, okay, for the first four games, it's going to be rough. Extended training camp, whatever. Now it's five games. I mean, in you know, Gronk, this is a fallacy that he's grabbing more double coverage. I mean, just in the last game, the Bills, I just wrote a column on this, that they basically treated him like Joe average tight end.
They did?
Twice they doubled him. And once was in the red zone, which you would expect. That's it. Twice.
Otherwise, they played him straight up.
Yes.
With linebackers and safeties.
You read me, you remember.
I don't read everything. I don't get a chance to.
Well, there was that one target down by the goal line in the red zone. He was covered one-on-one on that play.
How are they covering him, Greg? With who?
Just regular guy. Linebackers? Like, they... Trust the title of my column was, if the Bills were any sort of indication, then teams view Gronk as just another guy, basically. Obviously, he's not just another guy, but that's the way they guard him. They did not. It's not like they put two guys on him all the time, and that left this and that open. Didn't happen against the Bills.
Roy and Abington, you want to weigh in on this?
Sure.
Then go ahead, please.
Okay. This is Roy from Abington.
Okay, go ahead, Roy.
I'm talking about Gronk being the teacup with Brady, and Brady to me is a number one quarterback in football, and I believe that.
Roy, I have to let you go. Thank you very much for calling in. I appreciate it. His comment line said, "Is there a problem with Gronk?" So obviously, there's a problem with Gronkowski. Do you think it's worse than they've let on, or worse than we've been led to believe, or worse than this is just maintenance with Rob Gronkowski?
Yes, I think it's worse than we've been. I'm not like the Patriots are, you know, putting out some sort of line. I mean, maybe they are through Schefter and some of those people, but you know, I think it's more than just an ankle thing. I think it's because when I look at him, I see a guy who doesn't have explosion, and when I don't see that, then that gets me into, you know, whether it's Achilles or calf or, you know, that sort of thing, where he just doesn't have that explosion that he normally does. I mean, there were plays against the Bills where they ran design plays to Gronk that are normally bread and butter Gronk plays, like play action in the line, suck up the linebacker, and you hit Gronk in the middle on a slant. There was one of those plays, the linebacker took two false steps forward. Normally, that's all Gronk needs. He's off to the races. Couldn't beat the guy. I mean, he's not the same guy, and I just think he's too injured.
Okay, three up, three down with Bedard and Maz, right after Murray's update.
Listen live and check out all of our podcasts.
Critics acclaimed it as radio's finest production.
Available wherever and whenever you want.
Getting out of control.
On the 98.5, the Sports Hub app.
The Lowe's time and temperature, 2:37 p.m. and a rainy 53 degrees in Boston. Hurry into Lowe's today for savings on everything you need to get started on fall projects like overseeding and feeding your lawn. Plus, find savings to perk up your curb appeal with new mulch and fall plants. Whatever's on your to-do list, start now and save on what you need. All projects have a starting point, so start with Lowe's.
You're listening to Felger and Nash.
Doesn't always have to be ha-ha-hee-hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
No. It's time for three up.
He throws it left for Gronk. He makes the catch over two defenders.
And three down.
A poor throw intercepted by Tyrann Mathieu.
With Greg Bedard of BostonSportsJournal.com. Three up.
Launch downfield. Throw into the end zone. With Smith there and Rowe as well. That pass is going to be intercepted by Gilmore.
Three down.
Absolute blown coverage right here. Poor tackling on the outside.
Here on Felger and Maz.
All right, we've gone over all of our charts. We've consulted the All 22, brought in our clipboards. And when I say we, I mean Bedard. And Maz is now just going to chime in, where we give you our three studs, three duds, three stars, and three not stars for the Patriots in their win over the Packers Sunday night. Number one star, Greg.
Trey Flowers. He was awesome. I had him for 7 total quarterback pressures in this game, by far the most on the team. He's just, when he's healthy, he's an incredible player.
They're going to keep this guy?
I doubt. I mean, are they going to pay? Are they going to either put the tag on him or give him market outside, you know, defensive end, outside right. linebacker money? I have a hard time seeing it. They wouldn't give it to Chandler Jones. Why would they give it to him?
What's his official position? Is he D lineman or outside linebacker?
He's a defensive end.
He's a defensive end. So I bet you the franchise number on DNs is through the roof.
Got to be huge.
Probably got to be 15, 16, 17 million. And that's just off the top of my head. I mean, it's a high paid position.
They would have signed him already.
So it's either the franchise tag. They can't do that fifth year rookie option because he was like, whatever, a third or fourth round pick. So it's either franchise tag or bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I have a small budget and a big family.
What? Even that one, I have to. Usually I can ignore all those little things.
They should have pulled my sound down.
Okay. I'm worried about him being a flight risk. Your number one star.
I went Stephon Gilmore. I thought everything the Patriots did on defense in this game was predicated on Gilmore taking Davante Adams out of the game, and he did. So, to me, I thought Gilmore was the best player on the field.
Second star.
Gilmore. I mean, he did a great job. I mean, I wouldn't say this wasn't Revis Island or anything like that, because they did play a fair amount of zone at times in this game, but he did a great job.
Flowers. Monster. Proceed.
Third star.
Josh Gordon. You know, I thought, look, they need big plays. They've lacked them this year, regardless if it's scheme or whatever. He's helping to bring them, and he made some great, and one didn't even count, and he made a ridiculous catch along the sideline. So, you know, I thought he did a great job.
James White. My mission this year is to have James White in the top three every week, if not number one. And I just feel like every time they need a play, James White's involved. Every single time.
I actually consider him for a down. You had a tough time in pass pro.
Oh, well, see, I don't watch that.
Okay, three down. Three duds, Greg. Who's your number one dud for the Patriots?
Dwayne Allen. He had his moments in blocking, but largely, he was not good run blocking in this game.
Malcolm Brown, invisible, got abused on the interior. The fact of the matter is, one of the things that slid by, and I know you don't care about this, Green Bay ran the ball in this game. They get about 5 yards a pop, and I thought early on they were running it so well that this was part of their strategy because their defense sucked so bad that they were going to try to keep the ball away from Brady.
Oh, I think they were clearly bleeding clock. Clearly.
I mean, that's what it felt like early on. They should have done more of it because it felt to me like...
Oh, no. You know, I thought handing it off to Jones there in the fourth quarter was good. That was great. It's good. It's a great 7-yard pickup there. I mean, it didn't end so well, but no, keep running the ball, Mike.
Hey, but if he holds on to it, they're ahead.
Yeah, if he holds on to it.
So it was a fumble issue. It wasn't a gain issue.
Number one dud, Malcolm Brown. Your number two dud there, Greg.
Daron Harmon. This is a guy who it seems like... The past 2 weeks, they're putting McCourty back at free safety and cutting Harmon snaps, which I have been in favor of for a long time, going back to last year. So I think that's a good thing. He wasn't terrible in this game. I had a hard time beyond Dwayne Allen finding any downs, but I would put the blame for that touchdown that it looked like Patrick Chung gave up to Jimmy Graham. That was actually Daron Harmon was trying to have his Devin McCourty moment from last week and try to jump that route. And Rodgers just completely played him, and Harmon left Chung out to dry on that play.
Lawrence Guy. Tough week for the fatties in the defensive interior, Greg. I don't care if he forced a fumble or not. Up until that point, he sucked. Like, I thought, again, I told you, I asked you off the air about the center for the Packers. I thought he abused both of those guys in this game. The Patriots had a tough time on the defensive interior.
Corey Linsley is excellent.
The Packers center. Third dud there, Greg.
He only played 4 snaps in this game, so this is a bit unfair. I'm just giving sort of a season accumulation award for Derek Rivers.
Do you notice him?
No.
Never.
I'm waiting for him to make a play.
Dante Hightower. Again, I'm focusing on the interior of that team.
Won't argue with that.
Did you see Hightower? Did you notice him in this game at all?
No.
I mean, invisible. He was out there for 2/3 of the snaps. I thought he was invisible in this game. And again, meanwhile, they're running the ball down your throats pretty much the whole game. Okay, I'm done.
Okay, this concludes three up, three down. More of your football thoughts with Bedard. Kevin in Wakefield, quickly, go.
Hey, I was just wondering, did anybody notice the first touchdown that Green Bay scored was a pass play, and there were like three linemen in the end zone during the play? Was the officials just that blind?
Okay, so you think there should have been an illegal man down field call. That was the third and two from the two to Devontae Adams, I think he's talking about. I didn't notice it. To be an offensive lineman, Greg, are you allowed to go a yard or two down the field? What's the box there?
It's a good question. I forget off the top of my head right now.
I didn't
think it's
notice
within
that.
A yard of line of scrimmage. But
within a yard?
Yeah.
I thought the Patriots might have gotten away with a hold on James White's touchdown. That you said it was yesterday. It was Trent Brown.
Trent Brown stuck his arm out. He did.
Grab someone. Officiating in this game, non-factor. Complete non-factor. Gary in New Hampshire on those trick plays. Hi, Gary.
Yeah, hi. How's you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
Listen, you keep talking about the trick play like, that's a bad thing. I mean, that's the name of the game. If you can outthink the other team, then you're outthinking the other team. If Green Bay would have thought of it, they would have done it. All right? That's for you. And then one for Maz keeps talking about Cordarrelle Patterson, that, oh, he runs straight. Well, hey, I mean, they plan it that way. They know he can't cut left and right, so they say, open a hole to him and he'll go. How's that?
How's that, Gary?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
No, that's exactly what it is. How hard is it to do that?
Okay, Greg's point is, though, on the trick plays, that the fact they're even resorting to him is not a good sign.
I don't have a problem with them running it. I'm just wondering why they need to resort to it on every scoring drive. They had some sort of element of deception, whether it was hurry up or Patterson running for 43 yards or, the Edelman pass or
flea flicker,
stuff. I'm just curious why they feel the need, because obviously they did, because they game plan. Josh put those plays into the game plan and had them on a short list and then pulled them out during the game. And normally you don't get that from the Patriots unless they feel desperate for some reason that they have to do it. So I just wonder why.
And you think the offense, they don't have full faith in the offense being able to do it straight up, if you will.
Correct.
Okay. Once again, helping Greg along to the finish line, putting it through the Felger and Maz translator.
The processor.
Okay. We continue with your calls. Long commercial free segment is next.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
Third and goal to go from the half-yard line. Brady on the roll to the right, looking for Edelman. Now scans the back of the end zone, continues to run, fires into the end zone, knocked incomplete. Well short of the end zone by Josh Jones. The Patriots deciding to roll out Brady.
Go for it.
After they ran it twice with White and Patterson.
That design will make you want to throw up. You roll him out, not that mobile to begin with. Edelman's not there. Put in the flat. Okay, it's gone. You had no secondary or third threat after that.
Then he eventually tried to throw it to Chris Hogan.
And that's where you get in trouble, because if your initial read's not there, then all of a sudden you got a quarterback outside the pocket waiting. And then he's going to try and stick one in there.
Gotta hate that
fourth
rollout.
And goal to go inside the one. The snap from Andrews to Brady. Retreats three steps. Throws it left off the back foot for good, and he falls backward. The pass sails incomplete, and the Patriots leave empty-handed.
Terrible. Terrible third down and fourth down sequence. You're jamming. You get all the way down there. You're moving the ball. And then you roll out on third and goal from inside the one-yard line. I hate the call. The initial read wasn't there. You're lucky you didn't get picked. And then you're trying to stick a fade stop in out of the gun at the fourth and half-yard line. You run twice down there. That's what you do on third and fourth down. This is what they talk about. The inefficiencies down and tight. You had a bunch of them in Buffalo. You stalled on your previous drive where you got it going off the flea flicker. You end up having to kick a field goal there because you got too finesse related. Then you figure things out in a running game. You're running all the way down with Cordarrelle Patterson. Then you get down and tight for throwing the ball.
Right, that's a great commentary from Zoe on Sunday night, the goal line play calling. Before I go back to your phones, Greg, your thought on how they handled that set?
Totally agree with Zoe. I mean, I hate the sprint out, especially with Brady. The fourth down play had a better chance, except I think it was White who was supposed to pick up the blitz, and he didn't pick it up, and Brady got pressured on that play, had to get rid of it. I think if he had another beat, that gives Gordon to get a chance to get his feet under him. Also, Brady makes a better pass. But, in general, they, it hasn't been great down there. I think it's just sort of a microcosm of where they are offensively, where it's just not, they don't know what they can rely on. They're not sure what their bread and butter is, even when they have Michelle and Gronkowski in the lineup. They're not sure exactly what they have yet. And, you know, I'm not overly concerned because they're 7-2, you know, but by this point, week nine, a lot of this stuff is ironed out.
Usually.
Yep.
But not this year. Okay. We continue with your phone calls. Tom in Newton has the thought on that very set. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah. Hey, guys. Earlier, we were talking about the Patriots offense, but specifically with the red zone offense, as you were kind of alluding to there, you know, it was almost like Josh McDaniels spilled coffee on the red zone section of his play sheet. Like, they get up to the goal line, you had the bad goal line fade pass to Gordon, which is just one of those bad Josh McDaniels plays. Brady on the rollout. Like, why are they having these problems? I mean, Gordon would have been wide open on an in cut. You know, why are they getting up to the line and just, you know, losing their lunch?
Okay. Can you identify the problem there, Greg? I mean, the line's been good. They should have faith in the offensive line. And why can't you just find any running back just to barrel in behind a good offensive line?
I don't know. I mean, they've struggled. Now, one thing I will say about the red zone and also their offensive thing, you know, another possibility on what's going on, because normally when they've been in the red zone, you've seen a lot of these throws to the middle of the field. Like, guys, you know, Hogan, Amendola, whatever, you know, right out the back of the end zone.
Sure.
We haven't seen any of that. I wonder if some of this, including some of the trick plays, was just to break tendencies and put stuff on film. You wouldn't think it would be in this game against the Packers, but, you know, I don't rule it out that, you know, the Patriots are just throwing some things out there and running a lot of plays to the edge to maybe get the interior opened up at some points later on in the season.
Okay, maybe. I don't think that was the case with the Edelman double pass. They had been stymied on the previous three drives. They had gone backwards on their second of those three drives. They had gotten stoned on the goal line. Like, they had Brady, I think, had gone seven straight incomplete.
Yep.
Something like
this. I think
this.
That was career high.
Career high, seven straight incompletions. No, they needed to jar something loose. So I don't think that was to put it on film. I think it's because they needed it. And that's sort of what we're talking about today. Is it a bad sign that they needed it? John and Quincy. Go ahead, John. Hello, John. He says, trick plays were forced by Rodgers. That's his comment line. How could those trick plays possibly be forced by Rodgers?
I have no idea.
They're trying to go one-up someone, or are you like trying to go back and forth with someone? Because what? I don't get it.
No, right? I mean, how could they be forced by Rodgers when Rodgers didn't force anything the whole game?
Hamilton and Brockton. Go ahead, Hamilton.
Hey, I just want to ask Bedard, you know, when Sonny Michel is coming back. And I also want to say, go LS, man. I'm Damon Hamilton. I play for him. In Sudbury.
Okay, yeah, why don't you do this on your own time, Greg? Okay, at the Elks Club or whatever there in Sudbury. Michelle, what do we expect this week?
I think he'll be back this week. And, you know, normally when somebody's cleared, they're full go. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, I still don't think he's a difference maker. I think he's a fine player. I think he was getting better every week. I don't think he makes any difference in the offense. Look at what quarter.
Oh, careful to say that, Greg.
Wait a minute. We got to put this in the Felger and Maz enhancer now.
No, the processor.
Please repeat that again on Sonny Michel. How do you feel about him and his season and him as a player, please?
I think he's made almost the same as Gordon. They've made progress every week, gotten better a little bit, but I don't think they make any difference in what they do offensively. Gordon does because he makes bigger plays, but. You know, no. I mean, I think Michelle's a fine player, but
is he anything special?
To this point, no. I mean, he could be. You know, we'll see. I mean, I've been impressed that every week he's done a little bit more, but, you know, I'm not one of these Sony Michel truthers out there.
See, the Felger and Maz way of saying that is that you, the fan, you overrate Sony Michel. You overrate him. Fact. There you go. That's all I take.
Well, Scott and Sandwich. Scott and Sandwich. Go ahead, Scott.
Hey, guys. Hey, I was wondering, you guys, the bad clock management by the Patriots. When Claiborne chased Rodgers their last play of the first half, did Belichick and McDaniel think the ball went out of bounds? Because they did not call timeout and wasted about 30 seconds where the Pats had a complement of timeouts to march down the field.
So, Scott,
three or seven.
What it tells me is that they were just going to play out the half. Because they didn't use any of their timeouts there. Whether the ball was in or out, they had another chance to call a timeout. And I think, oddly, and maybe this ties into what we're talking about, if they had full faith and the offense were firing on full guns, There was a minute plus, I think.
No, yes, and Green Bay got the ball to start the second half.
Yeah, that's right. I want to say that by the time that the third down play happened, I want to say they had about 40 seconds. But they had three timeouts. Three timeouts, 40 seconds. Like, for the Patriots, typically, that's an eternity.
Oh, my God. Since when do they give up that chance? And is it because, again, they don't feel the offense is, you know, they're not fully confident in where they are offensively?
Well, I think part of it is, if you would have told Belichick before the punt that they were going to get the ball at the 22-yard line and not at, like, the 3.
Maz, Roger, that play was snapped. Sorry to cut you off. The play was snapped with 102.
Okay.
So the play couldn't take more than 5 to 10 seconds. So there was like 55 seconds on the clock, probably.
Okay. Yeah, maybe I had it registered in my head as to when they actually took possession. It was like 39 seconds or something like that. But in any case, I remember thinking, why aren't they trying to score here?
Okay.
I asked you about this yesterday. It stuck out to me. Like, I thought that was weird.
So if they had full confidence in the offense and it was going both barrels, they'd be calling timeouts and trying to rest every point they could out of that situation.
So I'm not,
I feel like they're scrapping it together right now offensively.
So I'm intrigued by what you said about Edelman's foot, because if Edelman's got a foot issue and Gronk's got an ankle issue, and maybe this is why guys aren't getting open as readily as they want, and all of a sudden, so now, you know, they can't get separation, because it doesn't feel like Gordon gets separation either.
No,
and Hogan never does.
Okay, on that note, Murray's gonna give you a 90-second update, no commercials. We pick it up on the other side.